Warning. The following presentation is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children, the oversensitive, or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
This project is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord, Carol the Cat, the Giddy Geeker, and Tiffany the Technician.
People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect, but actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
And now, damn right they shot first, the hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Woo! Episode 222.
222.
222.
Was that a TV show?
Wasn't it? Well, 227.
227, yeah.
And then room 222 was in the 70s with Karen Valentine.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. We're combining both of them.
Yeah. But this is 222, and we're here with Pixie Rose Studios. We have Rachel here.
Rachel.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Welcome to Guardians of the Geekery. And you are actually going to be at the Muggles Market this year.
I am. I cannot wait.
We're excited.
We are kind of getting excited. Did you see? I didn't show you the land speeders we have in the room next door. We have Star Wars land speeders.
Oh my God.
We're auctioning one off at the Muggles Market and then one at the Geek Gala. So people can come up for, I think it's going to be $1 or $2. You can buy a ticket and you don't have to be present to win.
Wow. And even as a vendor, I'll be eligible?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Hey, we'll take your money. It's for charity. We'll take your money. Yeah. So the cool thing with that is it's got a battery in it. And as long as you weigh 130 pounds or less, you can ride around in it. Matt was trying to use them as shoes and put one foot in each one.
Not recommended, yeah. Apparently.
A couple of weeks ago when my car got shot out, the cop that came over to take my report saw the land speeder. And he's like, hey, I'm 150. I could you know, lose 20 pounds and take it. And I'm like, no. Oh, it's for charity. So
I know an 11-year-old that would really love that.
Oh, and it's the original, like, paint job. It's the beat-up, like, dents and everything like that. It's really cool looking. I'll show it to you afterwards. But anyway. But, yeah, so you actually went to the Muggles Market last year as a Muggle. Like, you were not an artisan. You just came to scope it out.
I did. I went. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So what did you think? So talk about
it. I loved it.
Well, oh, my goodness.
I'm kidding.
But you're not.
I loved it. I loved the atmosphere. I loved all the different vendors. I kept bumping into people I knew from around Charlotte that are, you know, like us, you know, love all this stuff. I brought my son with me and he just at almost every vendor found something that he wanted. And so we just, you know, we really, really enjoyed it and just so many unique items.
And the venue is so beautiful. I love Noah's and they've been so kind to let us be there. I'm so excited. So
I really liked it too.
Yeah. And so you applied to be a vendor.
I did.
And you do a very special kind of beadwork. It's not, we were talking about this off air beforehand, and no offense to that, but it's not your typical go into Michael's and just do your loop and bead kind of thing. This is woven beadwork. So tell us a little bit about it. How did you get involved in doing this?
Well, many, many, many years ago, I used to sell jewelry following the Grateful Dead.
Oh, wow.
When I was 17. Gosh, that was ages ago. And I had almost forgotten that I did that. And then, you know, when I got back to beading, my mother actually taught me how to do this. Oh. And as I was doing it, I was like, you know, I think I've done this before. And it was like, oh my gosh, like a lifetime ago, I used to bead and trade my jewelry for food and, you know, shelter, you know, on you know, camping from show to show. It's just so crazy. I would never let my children do that now.
I know. The things we did, right?
But I just fell in love with all the different beads and the materials, and every little piece feels so unique. Like every bead within every piece is so unique, and so no two bracelets are ever the same. And it started out as just this very kind of ancestral thing of my mother and I sitting side by side in the kitchen beading when she'd come to visit, and then she'd leave and I'd continue. And little by little, the boxes of beads grew until they were a full closet. you know, ignore the family, spend all my time doing that. But it's just, it's the most relaxing. It's the best downtime I can imagine. You know, I'm an extrovert when I'm out in the world, but at home, I just, you know, want to put on my headphones and listen to a podcast or a book and be, you know, for hours and hours and hours. And it's just, it's very fulfilling. And some people say, oh my gosh, it looks so tedious because, you know, so many little tiny beads, but I don't find it tedious at all.
It's the way that you do it is similar in my head to kind of like knitting or crocheting because, or, you know, any of that kind of needlework, because you're having to kind of pattern and do different things as you go along. But I mean, the samples that you brought us today, and you can see these live on the Facebook live video we just posted. But I mean, I could totally see you doing like Hogwarts scarves out of this and, you know, just the patterns of the colors of the fandoms as well. But it's just so unique. I mean, as we know.
And it looks, you know, from far away, you can't tell it's beads until you get fairly close. I wear glasses, but until I get close, I'm like, wow. And then the beads are like, you're talking about, Joey, they're smaller, not the kind you just kind of scoop by the handful at Michael's and kind of.
These are not like 1 inch or one millimeter. These are tiny, tiny, tiny little beads.
The detail there.
We
is
like
just
to
amazing.
Say it's like weaving sand.
It really. Wow. Yeah. I could totally see that. Yeah.
I can see where you probably get the arthritis too, because it's the detail
lots
work.
And lots of hand stretches.
Yeah. If you haven't gone over to charlottegeeks.com, please make sure to go over there. We did do the 5-question interview for the Muggles Market. Thank you for sending your answers in. Yeah. First rule, you had asked us off air what, you know, Matt and I do for a living, and we actually do marketing. And the thing that sometimes just makes me want to shoot myself in the head is when we offer people free opportunities to talk about their work and they're like, oh, but I don't know what to say. And I'm like, it's a chance to show your pictures of your work and put your website link up and just answer them, you know, ghostwrite it, get somebody you like to write it for you, you know? But if you go over there, I loved your answer. The fact that, you know, you would get a robotic arm so you could just continue forever. So
yeah, because you know it's not going to last forever, the ability to do this kind of really fine work.
Well, you know, I was listening to a podcast on NPR and there's a guy that's doing hand transplants, so we have the technology.
I think, you know, at some point I'll have to move to larger beads.
Yeah,
I'm hoping that won't be till like I'm in my 70s.
I know, right? You're gonna get all those magnifying glasses though, like the little table stand. Are you already using them?
I have readers that I use that are stronger than my progressives, and eventually I imagine I'll get those little clamp on like they're like telescopic, you know,
the jeweler's
those and are so you so can cool. kind of sit up a little bit further while you do
I always see those magnifying glasses that sit on the table that you put the book underneath it and makes it 20 times bigger and be like But I have the little, my cousin had gotten me some from China right before my wedding, and they have the little lights in them. So when you look at people, you kind of look like Bright Eyes from a Total Eclipse of the Heart, because your eyes are just like, I was reading in bed one time and remembered I had them, and I had them on, and Matt was like, what are you doing? And I turned to look at him and he was like,
so bright.
Problems of getting old. So you do the earrings, which are beautiful, but you also do a lot of bracelets and other things. And they're mixed medium. I mean, it's not just beadwork. You've got different textures and different styles in here. Where do you get your inspiration from?
Well, I love Pinterest. I love looking at other Etsy sellers, and I do a lot of, you know, cruising on YouTube to see, just even learning a new technique. So it's each bracelet's made up of maybe several different beading techniques, from, you know, doing what they call micro macrame, different micro macrame patterns, adding in different elements like that one that we're looking at has like rings on it, sort
right.
of. So it's, you know, no piece is the same. It's very unique. In fact, I had posted one similar to that, and within hours, I got a text from a friend of mine that works for Disney, and she's like, oh my gosh, I have to have this, and I need to order a custom that is like a Darth Vader theme in the same style.
Ooh.
I know. That was so amazing.
And I just, that was like my moment. I'm like jumping around the office. I was at work and I'm running over to like someone in my office going, you won't believe who I just got a custom order from. And it was just so cool. And then getting a picture of her wearing this bracelet while she's in a Disney conference room, I was just like, holy cow.
Oh my God.
So yeah, there is something to the different kinds of patterns all together. So maybe, you know, it's basically just to describe the bracelet. You've got something that's maybe about, you know, 6 feet long. It's going to wrap around your arm, you know, like six times, eight times. And each wrap is like an individual bracelet. So it looks like you're wearing maybe eight bracelets. I usually do like one, two, three, you know, maybe up to like seven wraps typically.
Oh, wow.
So they sometimes like, you know, it takes a little practice to learn how to put them on, but like that piece right there, it has the, a stitch called Bollywood micro macrame. It's got, lots of different types of, beads from around the world. Most of them are glass, or that one's got some rainbow moonstone.
Ooh. Well, and like when I first saw this part, I actually thought it was gross grain ribbon until I touched it. I mean, that's the way, because it's a different style of bead. It's just, you almost think it's fabric until you realize it's not.
Wow. I've never even thought about it like that, but that's,
but you
really
can see that. You can see the little ridging in there.
And
so
it's even got mood beads. I love, they're called mirage beads, and they, you know, like if you ever had a mood ring or see something funky like that going, I mean, that makes me think we used to have mood stickers when I was a kid. I don't know if you remember.
Mood stickers, remember, and scratch and snap. Yeah. Those were the two.
And so these have some mood beads too. And
it's just beautiful. I mean, it really is. Like all of these different beads, and like you, this too. I mean, like if I didn't know, you would almost think this was rope or something.
And that's stone.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. I'm touching all your stuff.
Then that one looks like it has spikes on it.
So lately I've been really inspired. I'm listening. I've read all the Game of Thrones books, and now I'm listening to them. I'm not sorry, folks. I'm not really a big fan of the show.
Oh.
But I love the
controversy.
Books.
Controversy.
Yeah. No. I really love the books.
Wow.
And so I'm really inspired. And also just the, you know, but the Harry Potter and the magical creatures. Love the dragons. So I've been adding little scales, little beads that kind of stick up that look like scales. So it's kind of like the back of a dragon.
Yeah.
That
ridge.
Oh, it's beautiful. And
such,
you know,
a variety too.
I will say this, you know, I don't know if you've seen Amber Rose designs. Hers is very different from yours. But I believe the thing that you guys share is that creativity. Because like she just looks at stuff and it, I mean, the way that you transition these wraps from one style to a totally different style. And when you turn it over in the back, the transitional connections are just seamless. I mean, it looks like it's supposed to be there, but it's a totally different texture. Like you said, it looks like you're wearing four bracelets and it's one continuous piece of jewelry. Wow. It's amazing. Carol will be very sad that she was not here. Aww. And very happy, because then she won't spend all of her money before you walk out the door. While I'm sitting here going, which one am I not letting her take home?
Do you sell the display pillows too?
No.
They're burlap pillows that just, it really offsets it.
Yeah.
Really cute. It's really nice. That's, and I've totally messed up your little presentation box.
Oh, you're fine.
Stuck it all back in.
There's also some really cool spiky ones in there. So I went through a phase, and I still could make tons more of them. But
like that one definitely has some of.
There's
it
some with like really large glass spikes.
Oh wow!
They're, each of them are single wraps, because I just don't know if someone can truly handle a multiple wrap of the spikes.
Oh, furthest from me. Okay, closer to me, but see that.
Oh yeah. Yes. Sorry, it was sideways, large. So I couldn't
very
see the
pronounced spikes.
Those are literally three different bracelets on that one.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I love those bracelets.
They're so pretty, and they catch the light and they catch the mood. And you know, because of the different transitioning beads that you have in there, really can go. I mean, you're wearing one with right now, and it, you know, it's
Gryffindor inspired.
Yes. It's beautiful. So one of the things you said is that sometimes it's hard for you to find a good niche for some of your work, because tell me a little bit about that. You explain why.
Yeah, it's, you know, when you're selling something handmade that is very special to you, and, you know, when people, a lot of the time they're going to, you know, a craft mart. They're looking, for some reason, they want this stuff that's more mass produced. I don't know why.
Bizarre, right?
You know, I did one show in Jersey with my mom, and it was the most disappointing experience. I did okay. I did better than her, which made her feel kind of bad, which made me feel kind of bad. But it was great to, you know, be there with my teacher, selling things together and learning from her, just, you know, in that aspect. But, you know, we were the only thing there that was so truly unique in that sense. And it just wasn't appreciated. And it made me think, you know, you really have to be more intentional about where you go to sell your work. You know, you want to go to a place where people are going to appreciate it. So, I've thought about the Southern Home Show. I think, you know, this is very, you know, it can be more geek oriented, or it could be more shabby chic. It's more, you know, like I'm a huge Jane Austen fan. So some of the stuff I make is just very feminine and pretty. And so I can kind of go the range. I make a series of styles that I think, you know, are more popular for men, and they've sold very well. So I will be bringing some of those.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I was very careful about making sure that people know that we were looking for artisans and not vendors. Because I think that has garnered us a crowd that appreciates that. Because, like you said, I mean, I make one of the things that I try to make sure of with the Muggles Market is we don't have any third-party retailers. We don't have Funko Pops there. We have great sponsors of the Geek Gala, like Rebel Base, and Get Some Games and other places like that, Second and Charles, that sell that stuff. And you should go and you should buy it from those local stores. I wanted it to be stuff that you could not get at Second and Charles, you know, that you couldn't. And if you got it, you got maybe the only one that will ever be made exactly like that. And we have some people that come. I mean, Nancy Curl, I think of her. She does the glassware, and she only shows at our show. She has a cousin that has a place in Tennessee that will sell some of her stuff, and evidently she has a following out there, which is fine with her because then she doesn't know any of those people because it's 4 hours away. But you know, she didn't want to go to the craft fairs because people don't understand. This is like every single one of those is her children. Every single piece of glass that she hand makes and you know, fires and does all that is unique. So thank you for saying that we're a good fit for you. But your stuff is amazing. So do you have an Etsy shop that you sell some of this on? Or
I do. Pixie Rose Studio is on Etsy as a shop. It's I'd say it's not very well stocked right now because I just sold out of a lot of things.
Which is good. Yay!
So for all you listeners out there, if you're going to look out, there will be more coming soon.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes peeled. Yeah.
I do work full-time at one of our local big banks.
as many people in Charlotte do.
Yes, very grateful for that. So I don't have as much. Taking photographs and really thoughtfully creating your listings is just one part of that process. And that takes time. And it takes time away from beading. So
why would I do that when I could be beading?
Yeah. Like my whole family is going to go to Raleigh to the State Museum on Saturday. And I said, sorry, guys, I have orders to fill. I need to be working. So you're going to go without me. And they're like, that's fine. But I do a lot of custom orders. So if there's something that you don't see on my site, but you have something in mind, or you see something that you like, but maybe you're looking for a different color, or you want a vegan version of it. You know, I have people reach out to me all the time. I've had a lot of repeat customers who just fall in love with it. They buy one and they're like, oh my gosh, I need more. I wear my stuff all the time. I can't even buy anybody else's jewelry anymore because I'll see something and I think I know I can make it. I never steal something from another artist. You know, when you have the capability, it's so easy to just say, well, I love what they did. I could just do it. Instead, I reach out to that artist on Etsy or through Instagram and we make a trade.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
So it's a great community. A lot of the beaters are just really are open to that. And it's nice to be a part of a community where it's appreciated that you reach out and you want to share versus, you know,
swipe.
Steal. Or, yeah. Know. Yeah, we're very not into that. We had, working the con circuit, there was a time when people would be doing charity things and they would be going on, you know, DeviantArt and stuff like that and just downloading pictures and selling them. But it wasn't their work. But they're like, well, I framed it, I printed it, and it's for charity. And I'm like, no, that's not how that works.
Someone created that.
Yeah, somebody created that. We've been very fortunate that we've had a few people that, I think of Davey Beauchamp, who's created some designs for us over the years so we could sell his prints. But he signed them, he numbered them, and it's all, you know, authenticated. So nobody thinks that we're trying to just steal from it. But yeah, it really sounds like you really have that community vibe going from... What a wild, strange trip it's been, right? From the Grateful Dead days up until now, they're doing that. And you were telling us, so where did the name Pixie Rose come from?
My daughter, she was just such a little pixie herself. I mean, from the moment she was born, even when she was in utero, I imagined this strawberry blonde freckled little thing. And her ears were even just a little bit pointy when she was newborn. And, you know, she's no longer a strawberry blonde. She was when she was very little. Now she looks more like Snow White. She's very pale blue eyes and black hair and very fair skin. And she's just a beautiful kid. And if she hears this, she's probably going to be mad at me for even talking about her. Because she's 14 and, you know, 14.
Hi, Rose. It's okay. Moms love you.
Her name is Emma Rose.
Emma Rose. Emma, my mom used to threaten to throw me in the freezer, so you're okay. She didn't want me to grow up, so because she knew I'd become a teenager too. So
she's very creative, and I think, you know, she used to dance on the competition circuit, and so when she stopped dancing competition, that's when I really got into beading, because suddenly my weekends, I had time.
Oh, right.
We weren't traveling, we weren't in rehearsals, you know. I just suddenly had hours to myself to do stuff. And so I just started making jewelry for myself, and then I'd be out wearing it and people would say, oh, where could I get that? What, you know, where did you buy that? And I said, oh, I made it. You made it? Could you make me one? And it just started like that. And I sold lots and lots of work before I ever opened my Etsy shop. And it was just, you know, posting things on Facebook and friends from around the country reaching out and saying, I love it. I've got to have it. And
yeah, Facebook and Etsy has really made it a global community. And, you know, you've seen our house a little bit, like all of our light switches and stuff, all stuff we got from Etsy because we were like...
Even our wedding bands.
Even our wedding bands, yeah. We have Doctor Who wedding bands.
Oh, that's cool.
Etsy shop from the UK, yeah.
Yeah, so, but yeah, it's just been...
Yeah, it's wonderful.
It's been an amazing thing to find so many creative people out there doing stuff. And hopefully... being at the Muggles Market, you know, just allows people to know that these people, you don't have to just buy it on Etsy. There's people local that do a lot of this stuff. So we have one guy, Nick Crook. He's our punster. He likes to make lots of puns, but he's really into gaming. And the first Muggles Market, he just came for gaming. And he went downstairs and just walked through as like a courtesy walk because he knew it was something I'd worked hard on. He's like, oh my God, I bought 3 Christmas gifts. And then next year he's like, well, Nancy's going to be there, right? And this person's going to be there, right? And I'm like, well, yeah. And I'm like, yeah. But, you know, this is a great point you had pointed out. So if they do go on your Etsy or they do go on Charlotte Geeks and see some of the pictures of stuff you've posted or the Facebook Live that we have today, if you see something that you like, it will probably be sold before November 3rd when you're at the Muggles Market. But if you want to custom order it, you could always do that and she could have it for you there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and definitely I the jewelry is just fascinating. It's that waterfall beading. It's a lot of the earrings that you have is just that whole, I love it and hate it because I love it. Cause I love big, long jewelry. And then when I'm teaching a class, I hear it in my ear and I just wonder if everybody can hear it on the mic. But
I have very short hair and I can't grow it long anymore. So for me, it's just like, you know, they came out with all those fidget things a while ago and we got tons of fidget spinners.
Right.
I fidget with the earrings.
Yeah.
And it's like having hair that I can't have anymore. It's and that's kind of silly, but
no.
I, you know, a lot of women who have long hair, they just tend to kind of play with their hair and, it's like instead of having hair, I just play with earrings.
The earrings would be a lot better. I have one of those long necklaces that has like the little beads coming out of it. And I find myself wrapping it around my fingers and it constantly hitting the table and being noisy and distracting in meetings. So
yeah. So if you're a very tactile person, they have a really neat kind of soft, light feeling to them too.
And because they're so tiny, I really don't think that the noise would be an issue.
No, they don't make any noise.
But you could start your own ASMR channel, I guess, or whatever that is.
Yeah, the sensory channels. Yeah, you know, they're, well, we have a friend of ours that he's got really pretty hands. I'm sorry, Daniel, I said that out loud. But he actually has a channel where people like will bring in requests. Like they just wanted to see somebody like typing, or they just wanted to see somebody, you know, doing certain hand motions, and they find it sensory, relaxing and soothing. Yeah, I was actually.
There's a ton of YouTube channels where they show visuals, but a lot of it is the audio portion of it, because it'll just be someone pouring a glass of milk or shuffling paper or just talking softly. And
yeah,
some of them are like an hour long.
Yeah.
And it's just those sensory things, but people find them really soothing and relaxing.
Yeah. And our friend Wanda has talked about, you know, that there's cameras for downtown Japan that you can log in and watch people crossing traffic and stuff like that. And she just finds it fascinating. And when she needs to get her mind off of something, she'll go log in. But NPR was doing a thing. There's actually a girl on there. She has like 900,000 followers or something like that. And she literally sits and studies. And they see her cat kind of in the background, and they see her highlighting things and, you know, just studying. But they want like a study buddy. So they'll put that on while they're studying themselves, and they'll look over and see somebody else studying. And like she has like 900,000 views on one of her videos.
Visual white noise.
It is. So you could totally like do a side business while you're beating. And then people could like auction, you know, bid to get the thing they just saw you make.
And do a Twitch stream as well. You've got kind of possibilities.
We are going to totally monetize you like every second of your day. So she's like, I'm going to back out slowly. Why is like, the podcast room so far from the front door? No.
I keep imagining just how funny I would look, because there's just days where, you know, I'll work out and then I'll go sit down and bead, and it's just a sight.
But it could just be your hands. It could just be your hands doing the beading. So
that's true. And they probably see my cat in the background. I have a white calico, kind of like from Big Hero 6. She's a really like big fluffy marshmallow. And she loves to get in the way occasionally.
Yeah. Cats are like that. That's why we don't have any hair. We just have a porg. So we can touch the soft kitty, but we don't have to clean the kitty litter. It's the bane of my existence. You're saying nothing.
Yep. No, thank you, Porg, for not having kitty litter box. Thank you.
Requiring extra sustenance. So where are you going to be next? Because, you know, Muggles Market is November 3rd, so that's a little ways away. We've got about 6 months left.
I actually do not have plans to be anywhere else at this point. I have so little time to work that I will be working on everything for the Muggle Market as we go through the summer and into the fall. If something else came up, I might do it, you know, ad hoc. But other than that, it's just time is short.
Yeah. Well, and you also do some volunteer work too. And I forgot to mention that. You had mentioned that you are actually teaching a class at Time Out Youth.
That's true. So next Wednesday, I'll be at Time Out Youth in the afternoon.
Which will be after this podcast has come out. But
yeah. And then in mid-July, I'm doing a beading class at the YWCA through Bank of America and the Women's Lead Employee Network.
That's awesome.
Where it's called Lead for Women Employee Network. So I'm really excited about that. You know, the volunteer opportunities mean a lot to me, and
typically, if you're Bank of America people want to volunteer for the Muggles Market, let me know. So,
do you need volunteers? Seriously?
We always do. We always do. Yeah, because we run water to you guys, and you know, let you guys take potty breaks, and we have help with setup and set in, because we actually, when the Muggles Market ends at 4, we flip the space at 7 for the gala. So everybody has to get out, and we use that exact same building for the evening.
Same room, yeah.
So although the staff at Noah's event venue is pretty killer in getting that converted over, and we do have volunteers from UNCC, but we're always looking for some adult individuals. And we have work days beforehand where we'll do crafts and stuff ourselves for decorations around. And now that we've been there a year and we kind of know what works and doesn't work, we've got floating candles planned and Hogwarts invitations and stuff. So I need a couple hands for that. So We're always looking for stuff like that. But yes, you work with the Time Out Youth, and I thought it was interesting because you're actually helping them get ready for their Pride booth in August. To make some stuff for that, yeah. Which is awesome.
And I've done several other craft events with them. So before I got into beading, I was really into rainbow loom. I know, that's really weird.
Oh, wow.
Like crazy into rainbow loom. Like boxes and boxes and boxes of rubber bands. And created tremendous pieces. So if you go way back on my Instagram, you can see a few of my good pieces. But most of it I've deleted at this point. But I brought a rainbow loom workshop. I donated all of the supplies so they could keep everything there and continue the work.
Oh, great.
And taught them out of your house so you could get more beads. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm on to you, Rachel.
So taught them how to do some basic bracelets for Pride Fest for a couple of years ago. And then we did a huge tie-dye event. We've done painting. And so sometimes I bring in Bank of America volunteers, and sometimes I just do it on my own, and I'll bring one of my kids. I also have an 11-year-old son. His name is Indiana, but we call him Indy.
Oh,
and he is named after Indiana Jones.
Yay!
Excellent parenting. Yes,
you did well.
We have one very classic name and one very
Because you're into Jane Austen, right? Yes. So Emma Rose, absolutely. You've hit it.
Yes, my car is actually named Mr. Darcy.
Oh my God!
I even have a vanity plate.
Oh, mine is Bruce. Because he's green like the Hulk, but he's a smart car. So, well, he's smarter than the one I had before, which was Gypsy Rose Squee. She died on me. So, yeah, it was a sad day. But, well, it's better than. And then before that was Indigo, right? You have to name your cars. You spend as much time in your car as anything else, almost as much as your children sometimes.
Yeah. My last car was Elsa because she was the color of Elsa's dress.
Oh.
And then I couldn't wait to get rid of her because the color attracted too much attention. And I would say negative attention because it was too easy to spot if people got mad at me on the road.
Oh.
Do they get mad on you a lot?
Well, I honk at them if they're doing something wrong because I'm from Jersey and I don't put up with that crap.
You actually use your horn. Yeah.
I used to have the little 3-1. I was not a nice person. Well, I was a nice person, but I used to get so mad because I'd see people throwing cigarettes out their car window and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I would not do this in this day and age, nor do I promote that you do this in this day and age, but there was one night that was particularly long, and I timed it. So when I saw the guy throw the cigarette out his window, I jumped out of the car and said, "Oh, you dropped this," and dropped it back in, ran into my car, and the light turned green. And I was like,
I have a few similar stories I could tell, actually. Like, I can tell we're going to get along very well.
I do not have patience for that, you know, and different things. I just, you know, shut up and drive. Pay attention and drive and get your, you know. Just don't litter. I mean, because there's so many geese around here and stuff like that. Mm. And it's not good for them to eat that stuff. And nobody wants to see that stuff. I very much, from a child of the 70s, took the crying Indian to heart. And I will not litter anywhere. And it makes me mad when I see it. And it's just, it's a thing.
I'm right there with you.
And, you know, and the same thing in grocery stores and stuff like that. I have to be careful. Sometimes Matt just has to put his arm out and say, "It's okay, honey. It's okay." Because I will fight for your right to eat your food. But that's just me. But anyway, thank you so much for coming. I know it's not our full crew. Tiffles is off in Ireland, and Carol had things that she had kitties to take care of and her mom to take care of, and we wish her well. And like I said, she will be sad that she missed you, but she'll be excited to see your stuff in November. So
thanks for having me.
So tell us once again where we can find you onto the interwebs.
So I'm on Instagram at Pixie Rose Studio. I'm on Etsy, Pixie Rose Studio, Etsy.com. And I'm also on Facebook.
Yeah. So, and you can find, again, articles and pictures on charlottegeeks.com. And of course, we'll link that from the podcast so you can go right over there. Yeah, but
Pixie Rose Studio.
Rose Studio. Just think of a little pixie named Emma Rose dancing around a studio and you'll remember it. And Indy will be in the background with his bullwhip and we'll be all set, right?
Yes.
Will your mom come? Is your mom going to come to the Muggles Market?
You know, it's possible she'll be able to come down at that time.
Mom, if you're listening, we would love to have you.
Yeah.
Love to meet the inspiration behind the inspiring artist. So
she actually has an Etsy shop as well. She is JG Bead Lady. If you ever want to check out her work, the origin of Pixie Rose Studio.
Oh cool.
She's JG Bead Lady.
Yeah. Right. Go over JG Bead Lady and tell her what a great job Pixie Rose Studios did. And hopefully we can encourage her to come down south. It'll be warmer down here anyway, right?
Oh, yeah.
So come on down, Mom. It'll be fine.
We make each other beaded gifts. It's funny. For Mother's Day, I made her earrings and she beaded a bottle for me.
Oh,
so yeah, we do objects sometimes as well.
Interesting.
Cool.
That is actually a little bit tedious, but the end result is just phenomenal.
Wow. You could have little beaded things to put your little beaded things inside. That's amazing. All right, Pixie Rose Studio. Find it in all the places. Make sure to come on Muggles Market Day, November 3rd. And while you're at it, make sure to get your Geek Gala tickets. Remember, if you don't get your ticket before October 1st, you won't get that handy t-shirt. So we try to feed and clothe you. Let us do that. So,
thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Guardians of the Geekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Kilstofta. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.